did you take a gap year? A year to travel the world, step outside your usual routine before you settle down into study or work or family life. For a long time, a gap year felt like an Australian rite of passage. But the reality is, lots of people never got that chance. A survey from travel company Intrepid found that 80% of Australians over 55 missed out. I didn't do the gap year thing. I was too eager to start crossing things off my adult to-do list. And I think I was low-key scared that if I took a year off, I'd never go back and study. But maybe it's not too late for me or for you, because a new kind of gap year is emerging. They're calling it the golden gap year. People in their 50s, 60s and beyond setting off on the kinds of trips they missed out on in their youth. So if you've taken a golden gap year or if you are planning one, I would love to hear all about it. Let me travel vicariously through you, please. Tell me about your motivations for doing a golden gap year and how you think it would compare to if you'd done it when you were younger. Chris Herman is a golden gapper. Chris, welcome to Life Matters.
Well, good morning, Tegan. Good to be with you.
So you did what you called a senior gap year almost 10 years ago now, when you were 62. What prompted this?
Well, my life as I knew it had somewhat changed. My wife of 40 years suddenly died, and it left me in a situation where my life as I knew it had changed, and I was looking to see, I guess, where the next stage in life would take me. And I was in a situation where I had no dependencies. My children were living away, and their families, no relationship dependencies. And I thought, well, look, these young people have been taking gap years all their life. So I thought, why not take a senior gap year? So that was basically what prompted me to do it. And I just took off with a backpack, booked a round the world ticket, just three stops, and just took each day as it came.
Oh my gosh. So backpacking, how long did you go for?
12 months, and like I said, I just booked three stops, nothing planned. My first stop off was in Madrid in Spain. I didn't even have any accommodation booked because I guess it was just all that part of that to challenge myself. In fact, I was on the train, didn't speak any Spanish, didn't know anyone there, and I'd heard Valencia was a pretty good place, so I got on the train. It was actually while I was on the train that I booked my first night's accommodation.
Chris, that is a very 19-year-old energy that you're bringing to your golden gap year there. I really love it. What did you end up, looking back now, it's been 10 years, what are some of the highlights for you of that year?
Certainly Spain was a highlight. I went there, and like I said, I didn't know anyone. And after a few days there, I it was one of those moments I thought, oh, no, what have I done? Because things weren't exactly falling into place. I couldn't find accommodation. But as it turned out, and that's to me is, when I look back on life, is a bit of a signal when things say to you, oh, no, what have I done? It turns out to be one of the best experiences. And that's exactly what happened. I ended up finding a place right in the middle of the old town, historic old town, Valencia. I formed some, by the end of the 3 months there, I had a good little circle of a social group of friends. And it was just a great experience, just looking out there in my apartment, there'd be people, singing, dancing in the streets and that typical little Spanish sort of setting.
So 10 years on, Chris, what have you taken from that trip into your back in normal life?
Yeah, I guess that's can be difficult to answer. Has it changed me? And I guess it's one of those things that's sort of underlying change. The fact that it's actually, there's a saying that sort of, people die, some people die at 25 and they wait for the next 50 years for their bodies to catch up. Well, that's a bit of an extreme saying, but I guess in some essence, we all get stuck in our routines and that can consume us, whereas actually doing something like this, whether it's like this, it depends on what your challenges are, but by challenging ourselves, it just puts us out of the comfort zone. And it's and to me, overall, it's an exhilarating experience, the places I went, the people I met. And I think it just it's a bit of a reset. It brings back that bit of spontaneity in life.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Chris Herman, who took a senior gap year in his 60s and loved it. We're talking about golden gap year, senior gap year this morning here on Life Matters. If you've taken one or you're planning one, I'd love to hear your thought process behind it, what it's meant to you. Mark has called in. Mark, you've done what you call a 0.5 gap year. What does this mean?
Well, I had the pleasure of taking just over 6.5 months holiday in 2023, and I had three missions. One was to see where my ancestors were from in the UK, to see what they left to when they come to Australia. The other was my mum and dad were in the Second World War in the RAAF and the WAAF, and I wanted to see where my dad served, and I am researching that history, so I went to the UK. And his crewmates got killed. And on the 80th anniversary of their death, I was at their graves. So it was pretty sharp. And the other thing that I did, I'm an ecologist. So I wanted, and a bird watcher. So I wanted to look at the habitats over there. But I did it. I bought a motorhome in the Netherlands and crisscrossed the channel a few times and travelled the UK, France, Belgium, Netherlands and Deutschland and Italy, and it was an amazing experience. I did it by myself, so that allowed some flexibility, but yeah, really enjoyed it. And when I got home in September, and in December I had open heart surgery.
Oh my gosh. So
I was more than pleased to have undertaken that holiday and cultural experience, history experience.
Well, Mark,
lots
I'm glad,
galleries and museums.
I'm glad to hear you sound so well after open heart surgery. I guess, yeah, you really sort of puts things into perspective. Also with me is Beck Wilson, author of How to Have an Epic Retirement. She hosts a podcast called Prime Time, which is all about getting the most out of those post-retirement years. Beck, how inspired are you feeling right now listening to this story?
These guys are awesome. It truly is epic this time of life if you embrace the curiosity. And I actually wrote about curiosity this weekend in my newsletter. I feel like it's one of the stimulating factors that we forget to use. And, you know, when we're curious, we go seek. And, you know, we can fall out of the habit of that in our midlife. And it's nice to see people get a real hunger for it and go out exploring again. And I think there's nothing better than a gap year for restarting the curiosity.
I saw the look on your face get very thoughtful when Chris said before the thing about some people die at 25 and then wait the next 50 years for their bodies to catch up. What were you thinking about then?
Well, I was thinking about curiosity. Like, it is such an essential ingredient. And to me, it just brought me right back to what I was writing on the weekend and talking about, because we talk a lot about financial preparedness for retirement, but we don't talk as much about emotional preparedness. And to me, that's not just what am I going to do with my Tuesdays, what am I going to do with my Sundays? It's how am I going to make life rich and fulfilling? And even what am I interested in the next phase? And often we just haven't done that work because we tie our identity so closely to what we do with our days and our work identity. And once we leave that behind, just becoming curious again.
I think a lot of people, when they're approaching retirement, one of the things that you hear a lot of people talk about is wanting to travel, finally having the time to travel. But the sort of travel that I feel like I'm hearing people talking about is pretty different to this idea of taking a year or 6 months or 2 or 3 years off and just kind of backpacking.
Well, and it's funny, I did a whole section on slow travel and sabbaticals in my book Prime Time, which is actually for pre-retirees. It's like the prequel to How to Have an Epic Retirement, because I felt like 50-year-olds and 50-somethings and early 60-year-olds who aren't retiring as early as they used to need permission to go, you know what, I don't love my job. I'm not really happy with what I'm working on, but I know I don't want to give up working altogether. How about I take some time out and go and re-identify with myself? And it becomes a really empowering thing to raise the conversation on, because a lot of people find in their 50s a real sense of burnout, a real sense of I can't do this for another 10 years, but we don't have a conversation nationally on, or even internationally on, how do I stop and reset? How do I look around? And gap years is how we did that in our 20s, right? And it was okay. We had social permission to take a year out and go and just be.
Did you do it?
Yeah, absolutely. I lived in London. I worked over in the UK as a 21, 22-year-old, and my husband, my now husband, and I bought a combi van for £2,000, and we drove it around Europe for 6 months, and then we returned it. We returned to London and sold it for £1,900.
Amazing.
It was.
Making early good financial decisions there, Beck. I'm interested in this statistic. I mean, it's from a travel company. Take it with a big pinch of salt. But this idea that 80% of over 55s never took a gap year. I mean, it's not compulsory. It's not compulsory to do that. But just the shifting culture over the generations and what people felt like they had permission to do, like you were saying before.
Yeah. And look, if you look at my parents' generation, they're in their 70s. The government provided higher education for that generation. So there was a real compulsion for those who were going on to university to go on and do that university while it was provided. And there was a sort of slipstream there. And if not, people got married extraordinarily much younger, right? The entire social environment was different. You know, you didn't meet your partner online. You met them in day-to-day life. And, you know, now I see articles on how meeting online is the dominant way to meet somebody in your youth. And you think about how the world has completely changed. I mean, my daughter has just got back from living in Whistler for 18 months. So it's still, you know, it is a young, you know, rite of passage for a lot of Australians, I think, and more so Australians than other countries.
Right.
But it's beautiful to see, I think, the midlife and the retirement. And I would actually say I'd like a silver gap year and a golden gap year. I know that sounds greedy, but I think the opportunity to do one in my 50s. And then I think I'd kick off my retirement or the early phase when I'm part-timing with a slow travel. And I think we need to narrate that in. You don't have to do rushed holidays once you're not in a hurry to get back on a work timetable. If you start to tell yourself you can take 5 months and do it in the shoulder seasons and go slowly through the Asian countries and not in an expensive way, right? You can actually spend a lot of time meeting local communities, embedding yourself. It can be a very beautiful thing.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor chatting with Beck Wilson, who's giving you permission to take a gap year basically any time in your life that you want to. I'd love to know about yours, especially if it's what is being called a golden gap year or maybe around the time you're retiring. Catherine, you say your gap year was the best 3 years of your life. Tell me about it.
It was. I sold my house in central Queensland and moved to the mountains, or as close to the mountains as Australia gets anyway. I moved to a little country town in Mount Perry and bought a beautiful little cottage there and 25 acres, planted a food forest and grew my own food, immersed myself in the community and had a wonderful time.
That sounds gorgeous. What an interesting way of conceiving of a gap year. Catherine, thank you so much for the call. Prue has also called in. Prue, you and your husband, Steve, decided to take a gap year. Well, initially 6 months, but then it turned into 2 years. Tell me your story.
Yes, well, thank you for listening to it. But yeah, we decided to, you know, we always like traveling and we always like to see new places, and our kids had grown up and they had their own lives. And so we just decided one day, I think a couple of our kids had already been overseas for a couple of years, and we were a little bit envious, actually. So we just decided one day, let's do the same thing. Let's just pack up everything and go to London and live there for, it was supposed to be 6 or 8 months, but it ended up being close to 2 years. And so we just bought a one-way ticket and off we went.
How did your family react to this? You say you've got kids travelling. Were they looking at you sort of going, oh, I can see the bank balance going down, Mum and Dad?
They probably did think that. But no, they were pretty supportive. By that stage, both the children, we have four kids, but both the children had come back. And they had, you know, started to have children, those ones. So they had two small each child had two small children, or one each. And so we didn't, you know, we just said to them, well, the kids are young, where you're right, you've all got your own, you know, partners' houses, etc. And so we're going. So the kids were very supportive because we've always been supportive of them and their travel and whatever else has happened in their life. And they just sort of said, well, go for it.
So, Prue, you went when you were older, your kids had gone younger. Do you sort of see advantages to having done it when you were older?
Well, I did do the trip when I was in my 20s or late teens, 20s. So I did do whatever they called it back then, the rite of passage, I think they used to call it. So I did do that for 2 years. My husband hadn't. And I've always loved London. We'd been there a few times prior anyway. And so, you know, it was different, I think, probably going over as an older couple because, I mean, one, you're a bit more financially stable and you've already got all your house back home and so forth and, you know, think your jobs are settled. So, you know, that didn't cause much of a problem. But, yeah, I mean, we just decided to do it and we both had jobs that we could take to England as well. I mean, it did help that I had a British passport because it does become a little bit more difficult when you're older to get visas over there. A lot easier before you're 30. So I had the British passport. My husband got a spousal visa and we were able to get jobs. We were able to get into the healthcare system. We were able to, you know, even get the senior passes on the tubes and so forth. So it was probably easier for us to do that. So we just didn't hesitate. We just thought, yep, this is what we're doing. We're going.
Prue, thank you so much for the call. It's interesting to listen to some of those logistical considerations, Beck. The idea of being on the healthcare, being able to get a senior travel pass, these are things that everyone has a body. There's a chance you could get sick or injured at any time of life, but it becomes a bit more pressing when you're in those retiree years.
Yeah, and it probably puts a timeline on when you should be doing these things. I mean, my daughter could take a one-year travel insurance policy when she went to Canada. That became the way she relied on her healthcare services. When we go to the UK, there is some reciprocal services for Australians, but in all reality, that was when I went over on a young backpackers visa, and they aren't available to you over the age of 30. So if you want to work, you've got to find a way to work. Otherwise, you've got to build up savings. And that's not impossible, you know, for people if they plan it out and think it out. You know, living without a core income or remote working from Australia is becoming increasingly possible. I've had a friend who's lived in Scotland for 2 years and worked her Australian job. So, you know, the ability to work remotely is certainly there as well. But yes, you know, needing to maintain travel insurance, I think, is a very important consideration. And an annual travel insurance policy. And as you get older and the more chronic health conditions you get, the more expensive that is, right? And we already know it, you know, travel insurance really does become an issue, even for short haul.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor here with Beck Wilson, author of How to Have an Epic Retirement, talking about taking a golden gap year. If it's something that you've done, I'd love to hear the story. Although you are texting me as well. One says, at 63, I walked 410 kilometres of the Italian Camino and then spent 5 months travelling around Indonesia. It's really helped me to adapt to retirement after 40 plus years of teaching. Another, this is a pretty long gap year, another says, at 37, I was a partner in a major Australian law firm. I reduced my life to a backpack and left to Jordan to learn Arabic. I didn't return for 16 years. And another says, I'd like to take a gap year from my sandwich caring role, but I don't know how my family would cope if I ran away. Yeah, definitely not something for everyone. Ted has called in. Ted, you're doing a local gap year now in Albany in WA.
Yes, good morning. Yes, I ran away about 2.5 weeks ago from Townsville. I'm currently riding my motorcycle around Australia, ticking off a few things on the bucket list. One of them was to ride the Great Ocean Road. That's done. The Nullarbor Plain. That's done. Today I'm going to Margaret River, being an old surfer. I want to have a look at Margaret River. That'll be done. And then I'll turn for home.
That sounds amazing, Ted. I wonder how you're fitting in the logistics of what we were talking about before with travelling when you're older, health considerations, that sort of thing.
It'd be nice to go away for 6 months overseas. I've travelled a lot overseas in Asia and Europe, and it'd be nice to go and spend, say, 6 months in Asia. But, I think you've got the logistics of your health, you know, like, I'm fairly fit and healthy, but I still need regular medication and things like that. So, yeah.
Ted, thank you so much for the call. Drive safe, please. It sounds fun. Beck, what did you want to mention there?
Well, there's a really sad consideration this year with the fuel price. You know, this whole movement of caravanning is one of the ways people have a gap year. You know, and we see a lot of people head off in their caravans in May, right? This is month of the year where people head north up the Queensland coast and across the Savannah Way and over into Broome in the Northern Territory, the Kimberley, and then down the coast. And it's a traditional movement. They're saying that some of these towns are likely to have to shut up shop because 90% of the tourists of the travellers have cancelled this year because of the fuel price. And it just breaks your heart because that's Golden Gap Year is being cancelled everywhere.
That cost of living side of things is biting particularly hard. We're actually going to talk about it in depth next here on Life Matters. But Beck, there's a text here saying, my wife and I have a freehold home but live solely on the aged pension. Why not do a show for all the retirees who don't have the money for gap years and who find retirement a real chore because of health issues and lack of money? It's not something that's accessible to everyone.
I'm going to wrap my arms around that person and give them a big hug. My mum is on the full pension living in a caravan on the road at the moment. She's made various choices at different times to rent out her property and go on the road. These are hard choices because you don't get to keep your house unrented and live in the city while you're off on the road. But there is ways for people, if they can, buy a second-hand caravan and set their ambitions right size, do a bit of work on the road, you know, picking up some jobs along the way. There's a lot of work in regional Australia, even just tending the caravan parks and helping them maintain their guests and things like that, that make it possible. But what I would really egg people on to do is not look at the money as the reason, the only reason, raison d'etre. You know, what the reason we get out and do things in communities, in activities and in using our curiosity doesn't have to be because we're spending money. And the more we can orient ourselves around purposeful activity, that's the way to live a lower cost life.
Well, thank you, Beck. Thank you, Chris, everyone else who called in today to tell me about your golden gap years.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.